In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
It's no doubt that those in power set the standard for the rest of the nation. Lie under oath about an affair in the Oval Office and nothing happens to you. Guess what? Suddenly heads of corporations or other politicians think that they can lie too. After all, if the president can do it, why can't I? And if you're an unelected government bureaucrat, the president just set precedent for you to do whatever you want. No one ever charges a bureaucrat with anything. And think of all the doors to abuse that mindset opens. Over the last 6 years, we have seen, right out in the open like never before, the deep state using the power of government to go after its political enemies. We know from Brennan's own handwritten notes that the White House and the heads of the intelligence agencies, including James Comey of the FBI, were all fully informed by Brennan that Hillary Clinton planned to smear Trump with Russia collusion as a stunt to distract from her own email scandal. 3 days after that White House meeting, knowing full well that it was all a scam, James Comey authorized Operation Crossfire Hurricane to go after President Trump as an enemy of the state, colluding with Russia to steal an election. An entire investigation that he knew was based on lies and fraud. It used to be that if you didn't like a show, you'd change the channel. Freedom. It used to be such a wonderful thing, but not anymore. Now, in the age of authoritarianism, where the government is setting the example of targeting and destroying people they don't like, we have a fairly new phenomenon, cancel culture, where you don't simply dislike someone or something, you hate it so much that it must be destroyed, removed from existence. President Trump is the living example of that. It used to be that if you didn't like someone, you voted for the other guy. And if you didn't win, you'd work even harder next time. Oh no, not anymore. Now you destroy your opponent, prevent them from ever running again. Shame and mock and ridicule not just them, but that person's supporters as well. The aftermath of January 6th is a good example of that. Paint all Trump supporters as enemies of the state, as violent extremists. The vast, vast, overwhelming majority of people there in D.C. on the morning of January 6, 2021, were there as peaceful protesters, people who believed their sacred vote had been tampered with, election fraud had occurred, and they just wanted to be heard, to at least listen to the argument and give it a fair hearing. But the deep state had decided. President Trump had to go. He stood between them and power, ultimate power. He stood between them and billions, trillions of dollars of spending on their political allies who keep them in power. He had to go. He had to be eradicated, not just removed from office, his supporters not just defeated, but canceled, all of them. On today's show, we'll be talking about cancel culture with someone who experienced it firsthand, and we'll talk about January 6th and other topics with best-selling author Scott McEwen of American Sniper. But first up, I'd like to welcome Rob Taylor back to the show. He is the host of the Rob Taylor Report that airs on KWRO out of Coos County, which is one of the stations that also airs iSpy Radio. The Rob Taylor Report can be heard Mondays from 3 to 6 p.m. Rob, it is great to talk to you. Wishing you all the best in the new year.
Yeah, happy new year. I hope you had a good one, and I hope we have a better one coming up this next year.
Yeah, 2021 was not exactly a great year, but it ended well, and it felt like we were starting to make some headway. It felt like we were starting to get some wins, and so I certainly hope that momentum carries on through 2022, and I'm expecting good things in 2022. So we wanted to have you on because of what you're going through right now. People are out there trying to cancel your show, and this whole notion of cancel culture might be a bit new to some people in the sense that they might know that it's out there, but not have a firm grasp on what exactly it is. It's a form of organized boycotting where someone gets offended, and rather than simply walking away or turning the channel, they want to have the person who offended them removed altogether, canceled, like from the airwaves. So explain to our audience who it was that came after you and why did they go after you? What did you do?
Well, before I started my radio show, I was an activist for a long time. And so I've been very successful in Coos County in passing things such as the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance, as fighting against the the largest wetland restoration project. We were able to stop that here in Coos County, and many other things that has built up many different political enemies. Well, the recent, most recent political enemies is a group of communists. Now, these communists have an interesting way of fighting you. They continuously attack us on social media. They attack us by going after our sponsors. They attack us by following us to our events and having counter demonstrations, constantly photographing me, trying to find me in any type of compromising position and saying anything that might be offensive. And they continuously do this, and it's almost like stalking. And there's four common words that they use against me, that they use against everyone across the country. And these are the accusations: that I'm transphobic, I'm homophobic, I'm racist, and I'm fascist. And it doesn't matter who they go after, and you can just not agree with them, and they'll go after you, and they'll continue to use those same four words: transphobic, homophobic, racist, and fascist. I assure you, I am none of those things. In fact, I have fought against all of those things and believe in individual liberty and maximum individual liberty for everyone equally. But this new cancellation isn't about hate. It's about communism, because they're communist and I'm an anti-communist. I'm also an anti-fascist, by the way, but I'm against all collectivist ideologies, socialism, communism, fascism. And because I am against communism, and these people are dyed-in-the-wool communists, they call each other comrades, they have taken it upon themselves to go after me using the four accusations of transphobia, homophobia, and racist and fascist. And what they've done is they started a new petition in their recent effort to get me off the air, where they make these accusations against me. They give examples, taking my own words out of context and putting them in a list. There's a list of 15 of them. And they say that I am offensive and creating a hostile environment in the community, and they want to get rid of me. And it hasn't happened so far. I'm still standing strong. The station is still standing strong with me. The people who own Bicoastal Media do not like being told who will or will not be on their programming, and the management doesn't like it either. So we're standing together against this, because they know that this is a ruse. When they call me the transphobic, homophobic, racist, fascist person, they know that's a ruse, it's a guise, and that this is really about communism. And well, because I'm an activist, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's really cool that they're standing by you. Let's go ahead and take a break. We're talking with Rob Taylor, a fellow radio host and a victim of the cancel culture, attempted victim of the cancel culture. We'll have more with him and what he's going through and how he's fighting back right after this. iSpy Radio is proud to be part of the lineup on KWRO, airing out of Coos Bay, Saturdays 7 to 8 p.m., but on Mondays on KWRO, 3 to 6 p.m., you can catch the Rob Taylor Report. Rob is a longtime voice in the conservative grassroots and a huge Second Amendment advocate. And so, Rob, these people are coming after you. They want to cancel your show because they call you all these names and that you're not bowing to the communist dictates. Have they not heard of changing the channel?
No, I guess that's not. And I do want to correct you. It's not that they're just calling me names. I think that transphobia, homophobia, and racism is more than just a name calling. I think it's an accusation of something that's beyond name calling. They're destroying a person's reputation.
That's very right. So why can't they just simply move on and change the channel? I mean, does this sort of thing go over well? Do they have much of a foothold of communism down there in Coos Bay?
No, they don't. And that's the problem that they're finding, and why I'm still striving and I'm successful. The show is a very popular show because we deal with local politics. And most of the people who have seen this garbage, this propaganda coming from this communist group, even if they don't agree with me, they tell them, why don't you just change the channel? Or better yet, you know, Bicoastal Media has a progressive station. Why don't you do your own radio show and counter Rob Taylor's own wording? And I support that as well. I would support them doing their own show, but they won't. Why? Because they would actually have to work and create something. And all communists can do is tear down things.
Yeah, exactly right. So let's talk a little bit about what they did. One of the activists in here is somehow affiliated with the Waterfall Community Health Center. I assume from its name that it's a center focused on health, although nowadays you just can't tell anymore. What does going after you have to do with health?
Once again, they are my political enemy because I had a group on the show that spoke out against Waterfall Clinic going to the schools, taking a bus to the schools that they have, a mobile bus, and giving COVID shots to kids between the ages of 15 and 18 who do not have to tell their parents that they're getting these shots in the state of Oregon. And there was a group who was opposed to them giving these COVID shots to kids without their parents knowing about it. So they put up a big demonstration and they stopped the buses, and I had them on the show and we were talking about it. And I even offered to have Waterfall Clinic come on my radio show and counter what these people are saying, but that wasn't good enough for them. One of the people at Waterfall Clinic, and I don't know if it's the entire clinic or the board, it was one man there who decided that he would end advertising with Bicoastal Media, and I'm telling them that they better take me off the air because, once again, I'm transphobic, homophobic, and he used the same language that was used in a petition to come after me. So what they do is that my political enemies globbed on to these communists who are going after me, and they, instead of, you know, uniting and saying it's about communism, they go with, once again, the guise that I'm transphobic and homophobic, and I'm creating an environment of hostility and hate in the community, which is crazy. In fact, the only ones who are creating hate in the community are the ones who are calling the people on the right transphobic, homophobic, racist, and fascist.
Right.
And they're the ones who are the hateful ones. And we support their right to say whatever they want, but we don't think that people should be canceled or completely eliminated off of platforms just because they have a differing opinion.
Yeah. So do they take public monies, Waterfall Community Health Center? Because if they do, I kind of wonder if they've wandered into a sticky legal situation. Especially if they're using their official company emails to go after you.
Yeah, and that's what we're worried about. Yeah, is that they take public funding. And I went down to the county commissioners. I went to a county commissioner meeting. I asked the commissioners never to give them money because of their policy of giving shots to children under 18 without telling their parents. And they took offense to it. But the commissioners have said they don't give them
money. They meaning the commissioners or they meaning Waterfall?
The commissioners, the board, the county board of commissioners. And so, because I didn't want the county giving them any money. So I suspect they're probably getting money from the affordable health care plan, because they're a nonprofit. The Obamacare, they probably get money through federal funds, but I don't know. I don't know where they get money. I do know that they take donations, and there are some really good things that the clinic does. They try to stop, they do suicide prevention, and that's a good thing. And I would have even have promoted that if they wanted to. But once again, this one gentleman there decided to attack me and attack the show, and they try to legitimize these accusations against me.
Well, you mentioned that it's not just name calling, and you rightfully said that it's an attack on your reputation as well, and they're trying to cancel your business here. So can you in turn sue them, especially the Waterfall Clinic, since they seem to be the epicenter of this?
Unfortunately, because I am a public figure, they can say whatever they want about me, and that's their opinion. And I've talked to an attorney about this, and they said there's very little you can do as long as you're a public figure. The standard is very much higher than if I was just an average person. It's kind of like the difference between me and Kyle Rittenhouse. Even though he was made famous, he was still just a regular person when people were making accusations against him.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break a little bit early because I want to find out how you have been fighting this and beating back cancel culture. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Rob Taylor.
You're listening to the I Spy Radio Show.
And welcome back. We're talking today with Rob Taylor. He's the host of the Rob Taylor Report, and that airs on Mondays 3 to 6 p.m. in Coos County on KWRO, which is a station that iSpy Radio is also proud to be on. He has been under attack by communists down there in Coos County and facing some real cancel culture. So, Rob, let's start this segment with the big one. For someone else going through this kind of cancel culture, how do you fight back and beat it?
That's the hard part. It's easy to do, but it's hard to have the conviction to do it. And that is, you have to stand up to these people, because when you're called all these horrible names and it's done on Facebook, and they went after my sponsors, and my sponsors were, you know, they were a little shocked by it because they've never went through this before. And so I was worried about losing them, but they were my friends, not just my sponsors. They're good friends of mine, and they have almost the same beliefs as I do. So we agreed to stay strong. And then the manager of the station, of the branch of Bicoastal that's in Coos Bay, she has been standing behind me and standing against this because she knows all these accusations are untrue. She knows me personally. And the owner of the station has been the best. The president of the station has stood by my show because he believes, not that he believes in my show, but he believes in the First Amendment and your First Amendment rights. And that's why I keep telling people, if you want to support this type of information, these types of shows like your show, iSpy, airs on Saturdays and Sundays on KWRO, which is Bicoastal Media, that they got to advertise and do business with these types of businesses, because they're the ones who are standing behind shows like me, who are presenting what I believe is the same principles that are in my county. I mean, you know, I air in the county. I don't plan on getting bigger and moving on like Lars Larson, because I love Coos County, and I started this show just so I could work on local politics and bring information to the people that they're not getting anywhere else, because all politics is local, and that's where we have to have this fight.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's so cool, really, that your radio station, KWRO, really stood behind you. And I really hope that businesses out there that might be listening, that are considering advertising, as you said, these are the kinds of businesses that they need to get behind, because they're all standing up for very very important rights, First Amendment, and so much else. Because, you know, if you start giving into the mob, if you start canceling shows, where does it end? It's just going to continue.
Yeah, and it's not going to end. In fact, the people who are going after me, they believe that if they would have gotten me off the air, they have already said on their networks that they're going to go after the next show. They were going to go after Rob from Bass and Tackle. They were going to go after the gentleman who does the Patriot show on the Sons of Liberty on Sunday. And then eventually they would get to iSpy. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, is if we don't stand up now against these commie cowards, and that's what they are, they're all cowards, if we don't stand up to them, and it's only going to make it worse later down the road.
Well, and it's not even just the shows, but businesses have to realize that they'll start canceling businesses as well. They don't like fishing stores. They don't like First Amendment stores. They don't like, you can just go on down the list. I mean, eventually the mob will come to you.
That's right. There is no stopping it unless we stand together. And like I said, that's the most formidable thing you can do. And I was so proud to be a part of people who are willing to stand up to this, because, it, you know, at first you think you're alone because you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, and you're getting attacked by these people. And it's not just one. It's like a half a dozen of them. And you think you're alone, but then you start communicating with other people who are the same ilk as you, and you start to realize you're not alone. In fact, not only am I not alone, but we're the majority. 58% of the people in this county voted for Trump. I don't think communism is something that's that popular in Coos County.
No. In fact, if anything needs to be canceled, it's communism that needs to be canceled. But, you know, you have a right to believe what you want. Let's move on, though. We've only got about 3 minutes here or so with you. I'd like you to look ahead, because you've been such an avid supporter of conservative grassroots and stuff. So looking ahead here into 2022, what are some things that we have to defeat here? What are you most focused on personally, or see as the biggest threats to Oregon?
Well, the threat right now is these emergency orders, and that's once again goes back to the local municipalities, the local counties. And I think this can be done through our city charters, and counties without charters need to create charters where they protect themselves from these federal agencies and state agencies like DEQ and OSHA and the Oregon Health Authority, or as I like to say, the Oregon Health Authority. Like, you know,
the Nazi-esque named health authority. Yeah.
And so it's always a local battle, and we got to start there, because even here in Coos County, our county is turning bluer and bluer every day, and not because the Democrats are getting stronger, it's because the Republicans and the independents who are conservative are just apathetic and they're not getting involved. And we need people at every level, the school board. I know it's boring. They're the most boring meetings in the world to go to, and they take forever, but you got to get people on the school board. You got to get them in the city council. You got to get them on the county commissioners. And all of those offices are up for election this year. So we have to do it now. And there may not be a later if we allow this apathy to continue.
Yeah, absolutely right. As we like to say, freedom is an everyday fight. Real quick, in about the minute or so that we have left, do you see changes coming in the state legislature?
I don't think so. I'd like to hope that we could change it, but I just think that they've got such a stronghold in this state. I think that the ballot system, the way that we do mail-in ballots, is very questionable, and I think that there's a lot of running against us. I hope for the best, but I'm not expecting much, to be honest with you.
I'm of the different bent, I think. I do hold out hope. I don't think that we're going to get majority, but I think that we're going to at least break that supermajority, and that's a big step forward for sure. Rob, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, bestselling author Scott McEwen. We'll talk about the Democrat lies of January 6th.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.
And welcome back. This is the I Spy Radio Show, and pretty soon here we'll be joined by best-selling author Scott McEwen. As I said in the show opener, the vast, vast overwhelming majority of people there in D.C. on the morning of January 6, 2021, were there as peaceful protesters, people who believed their sacred vote had been tampered with, election fraud had occurred, and they just wanted to be heard. After all, how many times over the previous 4 years did they see the government bend over backwards to hear the opposite side, the Democrats? The Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination was nearly upended because of one person's vague and conflicting memories and who had no evidence. But with accusations of election fraud, they had evidence. Rules had been changed in violation of existing state laws. Hundreds of eyewitnesses, video evidence, recordings, emails, hundreds of thousands of suspicious ballots, ballots that couldn't be verified, ballots that had no signature or magically appeared in the middle of the night, all for just one candidate. On January 6th, these weren't extremists who had gathered there. These weren't enemies of the state. They were patriots defending the republic, sincerely believing that the country they loved and the elections that safeguard it were under attack. They were there to defend the country, not overthrow it. In their hearts and in their viewpoints, it was the ones who had tampered with the elections. They were the ones overthrowing the country. They just wanted to be heard. And then a tiny minority of those gathered peacefully turned violent. And it's those few that the media and the Democrats have used to smear all Trump supporters, even all patriots on either side of the aisle. You must support these Democrat socialists and only these Democrat socialists, or you too are an enemy of the state. But what really happened that day? Thanks to Nancy Pelosi's Star Chamber Committee, they are hiding all sorts of evidence, including video evidence, and only presenting one side, their side. But hundreds of Trump supporters have been locked up, often in solitary confinement and facing physical and mental abuse, more akin to a Chinese political prison than anything even remotely American. To talk about all that and more, I'd like to welcome New York Times bestselling author Scott McEwen back to the show. Scott, it is great to talk to you today.
Happy New Year. Let's take it back, 2022.
That's right. Happy New Year to you, too. So did I miss anything there, or would you care to add your own thoughts?
You know, what I find amazing, no, I don't think you missed anything, Mark, is the federal involvement from a DOJ / FBI level, I mean, the number of planted agents that they had that were not just involved in this, but were fomenting many of these acts is outrageous. And it's coming out now more and more. They're trying to keep it under lid as much as possible, but there was a substantial number of federal agents that were infiltrated and rabble-rousing, if you will, with these groups, and they have direct evidence of it now. I mean, it's not even this is not conspiracy theory. This is flat-out fact.
Yeah, I saw a video where a guy is behind a hidden door there in the Capitol building, and he's literally handing out weapons to people, baseball bats and other such things. Clearly, that's got to be somebody from the inside doing that. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that maybe in the next segment. But how is it that we are keeping American citizens locked away in truly deplorable conditions? I mean, if we did this to Al-Qaeda or Taliban prisoners, the prison warden would have been dragged by his ear up to Capitol Hill for questioning. And yet we know prisoners who have not been charged with sedition, only minor offenses like trespassing or failure to disperse and the like, they've been beaten physically, denied food and health care, kept in solitary confinement for up to 23 hours a day. How is this even legal?
Well, it's not legal. And you know what you're finding is, you know, and what's really, really distressing is that federal court bench that we saw so many egregious acts with General Flynn and with some of these other federal judges there that are completely unqualified, in my opinion, for being there, have essentially suspended the writ of habeas corpus. And the writ of habeas corpus was a concept that came to us from the early times in England that said, bring me the body. In other words, you can't tell me that prisoner is not in jail. You bring me the corpse if you don't bring me the person. And I want to see the writ. I want to see the body brought to me to get their justice done, either bail or whatever else. And that's where the writ of habeas corpus really came from in our system and has been a very, very strong part of our system, you know, from time immemorial, from the beginning of the United States to present, because the British would engage in these acts with with people that were part of the obviously then insurrection that became the revolution of the United States. And so I think that it's important that we recognize the fact that these federal judges inside the DC system have essentially, you know, suspended the writ of habeas corpus on these people that were charged with, like you say, everything from, you know, writ a misdemeanor trespassing to whatever else, many of which were not even serious crimes, yet have never seen the light of day or bail.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And you're right, writ of habeas corpus, I mean, that was how they used to punish political dissent or just people that the king didn't like, is they would throw them in prison and then just forget about them. Never actually charge them, never actually give them a day in court, never give them any kind of justice, just put them in jail and let them rot. It's just horrifying. So one of the things that has yet to be solved from the day of January 6th is, why do you suppose the FBI, which was able to use the scantest of video footage from inside the Capitol to track down grandmothers who had entered the building, arrest them and lock them away into solitary confinement, and yet somehow they still don't know who planted the pipe bombs at both the Democrat National Headquarters and the Republican Headquarters in D.C.? Why haven't they found that guy?
An interesting question, isn't it? And ineffective pipe bombs, I might say, thankfully, but they weren't even real. And so the real question is, was that a plant too? And I think the conclusion has to be drawn that yes, it probably, if not certainly, was. But you know, the real, you know, this whole scenario of January 6th, you know, is one that I think needs to be analyzed not only from the bottom to the top, if you will, but also from the fact that what really took place, what really happened, as far as what the worst thing that the demonstrators did. The worst thing the demonstrators did is they did not bring weapons. They did not do anything. And essentially, they were allowed in most instances, they were allowed into the Capitol building to go there. And so, you know, do I agree with riots? Hell no, I don't agree with riots. I don't agree with violence. I don't agree with violence towards police. None of us that believe in the real America do. But you know what? What really happened here is, I think it was a setup, and I think that they fell for the trap. And I think that the one thing I will criticize Trump for is, I think he was responsible for not seeing the setup early enough to know that this was going to happen.
Well, and you raise another interesting point there, is you say they fell for the trap. So who designed it?
Well, exactly. The Democrats did. They knew it was coming. Everybody inside the DOJ did. They could see what was being fomented. They decided not to bring in extra troops. They decided not to bring in more security that would have held, you know, whatever semblance of keeping people out, et cetera. They wanted this to happen. I really have to come to that conclusion, Mark. And I'm not saying that as a conspiracy person. I'm really not at all. I find it very distressing that that's what took place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's go and take a break there. We'll have more with best-selling author Scott McKeown coming up. We'll be talking about more about Democrat lies on January 6th. Stay with us.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
There's a golden maxim of today's politics. Just because a Democrat said it doesn't make it true or even anything resembling a fact. And the more they shriek about it and go on and on about it, the less likely it is true. Build back better, global warming, voting rights. This maxim is especially so when they're speaking of their political opponents when it comes to things like Russia collusion, Ukraine, and now, of course, January 6th. Just because a Democrat calls it an insurrection doesn't make it one. We're talking about that today with Scott McKeown. He's a co-author of the best-selling book, American Snipers. You can find that by heading to iSpyRadio.com and look on our store page. And so, Scott, we've been talking about lies here from the Democrats, and the whole of January 6th is just political. The January 6th committee, I should say, is political kabuki theater. It's designed to continue the claim that President Trump had planned the whole thing and that it was an insurrection. So let's actually start there, though, this premise that it's an insurrection. Scott, you know Second Amendment people. You know former and current military. If this was a genuine insurrection, what would that have looked like?
Well, it would have certainly involved weapons. I mean, I would think it would involve firearms. It would have involved, you know, some type of, if you will, a force that was that came to the game, you know, armed to the teeth. I mean, if you were trying to do an insurrection, if you were to do it without weapons, it would seem like you would be up against a pretty large force that would have them against you. I'm not in any way fomenting or supporting that position.
No, just analyzing it.
You know, yeah, but I will say this, that, you know, the bottom line is there wasn't a single weapon found amongst any of that group, period, end of story. And you know they would have tried to have done it. You know, Mark, that if they would have had something that they could have pointed to, even a pistol or some type of a small gun, whatever, then it would have been front and center in this news. The only weapon used in this entire incident was done by a cop shooting an individual, actually from San Diego, that was going through that was supposedly entering a no enter zone, and there was no weapon on her. So, you know, that's the only firearm incident that took place was by the police against this individual. Otherwise, there was no weapon. So, you tell me that's an insurrection. And I'll tell you that there was a lot of people there that were not extremely bright, if that's in fact what it
was. Absolutely. If that was an insurrection, it was done by the stupidest people out there. I mean, for heaven's sakes, there were thousands of police officers there, let alone any troops, right. You know, National Guard and stuff. So you're honestly saying that, what, a couple hundred people that got arrested there that were genuine rabble-rousers, we're not even sure if they were actual Trump supporters, they think that a couple hundred people are going to go up against thousands of police officers who are armed. I mean, come on, that's just stupid.
It makes zero sense from the first day it was argued, and it makes even less sense now when you look at really what happened and really what was involved from the federal side and everything else. But I'll tell you this, Mark, you know, one of the things I take heart in is I was actually watching some network news yesterday. My girlfriend, Jody, was at the COVID, which I've recovered from, and now she's almost recovered from, thank gosh, but bottom line is, both of us had it over the Christmas area/New Year's time, and long story short, you know, she has different TV stuff at her house than me, and I was watching NBC, and they were showing the stats on how many people actually believe in what is going on in this whole January 6th investigation, and it's like almost 65% of the people don't trust anything the government is saying. So thankfully, the people, and that's across the board, I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about independents, Democrats, and Republicans, that people aren't buying it, you know, and thank God for that, that people are finally to the point now where not only do they not trust Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but they don't trust the damn thing the government's saying right now.
Well, and they shouldn't, because so much of what we've learned over the last few years here, starting even before Trump was elected, is that the FBI and the DOJ and the CIA and all of our other intelligence agencies are willing to use the powers of government to go after their political opponents. And I think you would have to be rabidly far left to think that that's not true.
But even then, they have to realize that's what they're doing. I mean, that's what they're certainly encouraging with this January 6th committee and whatnot. And you had raised in the last segment there that it's looking like a lot of this was false flag operations going on, that there was FBI and Antifa and other elements all there to stir up trouble, egg people on, and to cause troubles. I mean, how confident are you, having seen what you've seen, how confident are you that that is, in fact, the case?
I'm very, very confident that there was a substantial portion of those that were supposedly a part of this, quote, insurrection were planted there either by the federal government or by forces alternative to whatever Trump interests were being allegedly represented by the people. I just don't think that this was a concerted effort by the Trump people to do any type of insurrection whatsoever, and that those people that actually caused problems were probably not even related to the Trump movement or anything to do with it. So I really believe it was a setup, and I believe it was a setup not only just by the Antifa slash groups, but also by the federal government itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the clearest examples of that is the fact that they're hiding so much evidence. I mean, they're keeping thousands of hours of video evidence hidden. You wouldn't do that.
You know what they're doing now is they're trying to offer deals. I saw that woman out of Texas that they gave that deal to the other day and gave her like 60 days or something. She's got to do like 30 and, you know, in a minimum men basically check in, check out in federal Texas, in some federal facility in Texas. They're basically offering deals you've got to take now because they realize that if people take these things to trial, that they're going to put this evidence out there, Mark.
Hmm. Well, let's actually hope that some people have the courage and ability to do that. I think this has to get exposed. Getting back to this notion of false flag operations, to me, one of the biggest problems in America today is that there is no punishment or even repercussions for lying to the American people. I mean, we've come to expect it with politicians and the media, but, you know, with our own intelligence agencies, we should be able to expect more. But we have seen the FBI willing to set up Americans and essentially plant evidence and resort to entrapment, like with the Governor Whitmer kidnapping case. FBI agents came up with it and planned it and then recruited some poor saps and tried to paint them with it. CIA has used false flags in other countries for regime change. Shouldn't using false flags and other mass population control techniques on American soil by our own intelligence agencies, shouldn't that be illegal? And why isn't it already illegal?
It is. And I think that we're seeing it more and more prevalent. And, you know, after what we witnessed with the whole setup of the Trump campaign and the arrest that took place, not only of, you know, people like General Flynn, but also of Papadopoulos and a few of these other guys, the whole thing was set up. I mean, it was really set up from day one, and it was set up by the Democratic Party and by Hillary. And you know, that has never come out. And, you know, it really hasn't come out to the point where it has been prosecuted, nor has there been any fallout or, should say, you know, any real criminal action taken as a result of blatant lies that were set up by our own, you know, FBI and the government. And so, Mark, you know, that to me is the most distressing part of all this. And that is the fact that, you know, America, like all countries, we make mistakes. But one thing we've always been able to rely upon as a people is that we believe in the system. We believe that the system is ultimately fair. We believe that the government prosecutes all those that have committed crimes, not just those that agree with their or disagree with their political persuasion or position. Unfortunately, I feel as if my children and the generation that we're now seeing don't believe in that, and that is a real danger in our society. If people stop believing in prosecution and fair prosecution, then by God, they're not going to agree with anything that takes place.
No, you have utter chaos at that point. All right, everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Scott McEwen after this. And welcome back on our final segment. Now we've been talking today with Scott McEwen, co-author of the New York Times bestselling book, American Sniper. He also has two of his own series of books, the Sniper Elite series and the Camp Valor series. If you like fiction, he's got that. If you like nonfiction, he's got you covered there too. Hell Week, in fact, was a truly terrific book. I really enjoyed that one. And Scott, speaking of books, what are you working on now? Anything coming up soon?
I'm working on a book called The Second, i.e. The Second Amendment. Huh? And I think it's going to be a very important work. I think the amendment has become so much more focal given the lack of rights that are, I should say, the trod upon our rights that's there. And A lot of people don't realize the reason why the second was written was exactly the days we're going through now. Mm. And I don't say that to in any way say anything but the fact that the founders always knew we'd be here. And the founders always knew we'd need the second when we got here. And so I think that's the only thing that keeps the Democrats and the Socialist Party of this country from trying to take even more rights than we've already seen them take, you know, in this COVID times.
Mm. So in that last segment, we were talking about some false flags and the entrapment, really, by some of our own people in the DOJ, the FBI, CIA, and whatnot. You look at the bad behavior by these agencies and by a lot of people within the halls of government. And it's so anti-American. Do you think that China has more control within our own government, especially in the intelligence agencies, than we'd like to admit?
Whether they had direct control through agents, if you will, working for them, or whether they just had the control by virtue of, you know, of the calamity that they created with this disease and with the cessation of a lot of our rights and things of that nature. I don't know. I don't know whether they had that direct control or not, but I will tell you this, that by their actions and by the actions of those that followed up, you know, with the Chinese virus that escaped, the COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. You know, the bottom line is it all worked the same, Mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all worked mm-hmm. the same. We saw, you know, basically the government suspend many of our rights, suspend habeas corpus, suspend a huge bunch of things. And we saw the effective, I believe, loss of a huge election. Now, whether you want to say that by virtue of the false ballots or by the fact that they had all this mail-in crap or they're still trying to do it now or whatever, but as a result of that, quote, disease, you basically saw a whole bunch of our voting rights suspended mm-hmm. as well. And mm-hmm. I believe that led directly to a change in the administration and the control of the United States.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely think that there was voter fraud that happened. This week, True the Vote has said that they actually have somebody that has confessed that, yes, they were ballot harvesting. He made $45,000 dropping off falsified ballots, and he was one of some 240 people doing that. So, yeah, I think the election was absolutely stolen. So,
want to take a side bet whether that guy gets prosecuted?
Yeah, really. Yeah, might get Epstein'd very early on, which is horrible to think about. But that, of course, raises the question, who was paying him? You know, $45,000, yeah. That's not, you know, chump change. That's not just walking around money like the Chicago Democrats of years gone by. Somebody was organizing that. Somebody had money that they were handing out to get people to steal that election. So that's what I'm waiting to hear.
Soros. Maybe somehow related to George Soros.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm confident of that.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. So we've been talking about lies today and the golden maximum of today's politics. Just because a Democrat says it doesn't make it so. And Merrick Garland, the train wreck of an attorney general who nearly ended up on the Supreme Court. Did you happen to catch the article in Red State about his speech on January 6th?
Yeah. I mean, the guy is so unqualified to be, you know, what he's doing. It's almost shocking. But, you know, that said, it's not surprising. That's the unfortunate part is that this guy is so biased and so one-sided in his approach to the law, to politics, and really to prosecution. You know, someone like that should not be the AG of this country, should not even be near that office, but it's going to dictate who gets prosecuted, what they get prosecuted for, and what they don't get prosecuted for, and further erode, I believe, the confidence of this nation in its legal maxims.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just another case of say one thing and do another. And for those that haven't read that article, you're really going to like this. It's titled A.G. Garland's Remarks About January 6th and One Rule of Law Defy Belief. And they quote a part of his speech here. In the wake of the Watergate scandal, the Justice Department concluded that the best way to ensure the department's independence, integrity, and fair application of our laws, and the best way to ensure the health of our democracy is to have a set of norms to govern our work. Okay, fine. You know, I'm with you so far. But then he goes on to say, the central norm is that in our criminal investigations, there cannot be different rules depending on one's political party or affiliation. There cannot be different rules for friends and foes, and there cannot be different rules for the powerful and the powerless. There is only one rule. What? Where have you been the last 5 years?
No, I know. sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds like the right thing to say, but certainly is not the way it's been practiced.
No.
And that's the problem.
Oh, I'm just astounded that anyone who has paid even the scantest amount of attention knows that there are clearly two rules of law in today's America, one for Democrats and one for Republicans. I mean, I just am floored that he would think that people wouldn't know the truth of that.
Yeah, and he knows. He knows exactly what went on. They know exactly what went on with Comey and with the DOJ warrants and, you know, and the FISA warrants and all this other fraud that was pulled. They know. They know exactly what went on. But once again, those people are untouchable, and it's that's the real problem right now. Is until those people start being touched, and people perceive that to be the case, nobody's going to believe in anything that's done.
Well, and they shouldn't. And I'd like to ask him, as they do in their article, where is the investigation of constant attacks for more than 100 days in a row on the Portland federal courthouse with dozens of federal agents and local police injured? Not only did they endorse that, but they were actually out there bailing these people out for having assaulted police officers.
Putting up bail.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. All right. Well, Scott, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much for being here and wish all the best wishes to you for the year ahead.
Yeah, you as well. And, you know, I want to leave some. Sometimes I get a little bit jaundiced and I don't sound positive towards things or anything else, but I really believe this, Mark. I think 22 is going to be a landmark year in taking this country back.
I do too.
I think people are realizing exactly how much junk has gone on and how much behavior that we do not want as Americans to go on. And I think R, even D, is going to wake up and say, you know what, we got to clean this crap up. And I'm hoping 2022 is that year because we've had enough and the country needs to clean it up.
Absolutely. And thank you for joining us today on our first show of our 12th year. How on earth is that possible? We are starting our 12th year. Incredible. You know, listening to our guest today, it always astounds me that there are people out there who fight against freedom, not for it. And many times they are well-funded, paid activists and agitators. But the good news is, although they shout a lot and get a lot of attention, the reality is they are small in number. They're just paid to look bigger than they are. The good news is there are far more normal people like you out there than there are of the shriekers and whiners. That's why it's important to stand up and speak up and to stand up for other normal people like yourself. It's important to not be afraid. You have every bit of rights to be heard as they do, more so because you are in the majority. And be proactive. Don't let the cancel culture get the first or last word. Go out and spread a little encouragement. And that way, when the cancel culture comes calling, radio stations like Rob's knows in advance that they've got your support. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.